Massive episode this week. We have the debut of Rockbusters, Auntie Nora fighting for 5 minutes, educating Ricky featuring the hairy Chinese kid, and more. This is an iconic Carl episode. Enjoy. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so at Patreon. Just $2 a month, you get the show a week early, and there'll never be any ads. That means if you're listening to this the week it's come out, episode 9 is already at the Patreon. And we also have a whole spin-off podcast called The Bready Brett Boys. Right now we're doing The Office Series 2. Patreon.com/Carly Pilk Boys. Okay, on with the show. Welcome back to the Carly Pilk Boys podcast. I'm David Ferrier.
With Stephen Merchant.
We're two little Aussie radio fellas air-checking the old XFM Ricky Gervais show. Obviously, I've listened heaps. This is Zach's first time. Today's show, Series 2, Episode 8, a.k.a. Rockbusters, Auntie Nora, and Hairy Chinese Kid. Zach, your Heat magazine-style headline, please.
Has fame gone to his head? Ricky Gervais unleashes on the XFM behind-the-scenes crew.
Comment below the YouTube video of this episode. Best episode ever. The amount of comedy in this hour is amazing.
Really? Wow, okay. It was great to have Carl back, I thought. He brings a lot out of the gate. But best ever is a big call.
Well, something you wouldn't know because this is your first time going through... A few of the things that come up in this episode become long-running jokes and long-running segments.
Okay.
You're aware that we've been working our way towards Rockbusters,
mm-hmm.
right? But the hairy Chinese kid and Auntie Nora at the very end, that becomes stuff of legend. Does my microphone sound okay?
I think so.
Okay. Maybe it's just I'm using different headphones. I can hear how echoey it is.
It is a little bit echoey. And I've wondered, you know, is there, does that microphone have like different directional settings?
Well,
I wonder if you have it on.
It is a problem over the last few weeks. Your microphone is too good. You've got this very expensive microphone that points directly at your mouth. This is the sort of entry level podcasting. Podcasting,
it's still a high quality microphone that you have.
Yeah, but I can hear the difference when I listen back to the episode.
Yeah, I wonder, like, should we put some blankets up in the room or something? Maybe it's quite an empty room. That could be an issue.
What if
we need some carpets? Some carpets on the ground.
Well, look, I apologize.
Are you okay? By the way, we've had there's been historic flooding in the city over the weekend.
Yes.
And I'm delayed coming this morning. There's roads cut off and everything. Is this place okay? Have you had any leaks?
No. In fact, you see up in that corner,
there's some water damage.
We had that a plumber come over and fix that last Friday.
Okay.
No, last Monday, a week ago today.
Yeah.
So that was well timed. But no, I'm in a top floor of only a two-level block of units at the top of a hill. So I've been... Frankly, it's been quite a nice weekend.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, I've been stuck in a house with a toddler and two dogs and a leaky roof, and the dogs are pissing on the carpet, and my wife has work presentation to do. It's been hectic. And then today the schools are shut. The hospitals aren't taking people. And I get a message from Dave last night. We're still on for the morning. So that's the commitment of this podcast.
You had to duck and weave your way here there were roads closed because they were flooded.
The lady down the road who I had to evacuate, she's in her 70s, lives by herself. House got flooded, had to evacuate. She said, Zach, can you help me clean up? I said, sorry, just nipping out to do a podcast.
You don't understand.
The Ricky Gervais show. This is important.
I've made a promise to our listeners. Yeah, so it's February 2022, if you're listening to this later. Yeah, big floods in Brisbane. I live quite near the river. There's a ferry terminal just around the corner. And that is, I've been going down every day to see how it's going. And it's now to the end of the street.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
The floodwaters, they got within, I measured on Google Earth, 20 meters of my house. So it's getting close.
Because you've got a park across the road from your place and it's turned into a swimming pool.
Yep.
And the only thing between you, your house, and that park is a road.
Yeah, but it's a few meters of elevation. I think we were always okay. It was dire coming here, though. I drove past that artisan bakery. Lineups out the door.
Oh.
People desperate for their sprouted rice sourdough.
People have their priorities in order, okay? They've done their sandbagging.
Maybe they're using some of those sourdoughs for sandbagging. They run out of sandbags and like, give me your densest loaf.
That'd be very absorbent. Let's get on to the Air Check Series 2, Episode 8, broadcast October 12, 2002, Break 1. What did you make of Carl's logic that the holiday wasn't all good because his dad punctured a lung, even though he wasn't aware of it?
Well, how funny was it when they said, did you know any of this? And he said, I didn't take my phone. Imagine being that uncontactable.
Yeah.
Is he suggesting that he could sense it well, in the does, ether?
But I just like the idea of, so he had a nice week-long holiday, and then after the holiday was over, he found out something had gone wrong.
And it ruined it retrospectively.
Retrospectively, it ruined his holiday.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess in his memory, it just puts a sour taste in everything.
Mm.
But that's very Carl, I think. You know,
I think the Pilkingtons have a psychic connection because he does say he had a feeling.
Do you think, you know how people say that when something bad happens, there's a silver lining and they go, oh, well, there's a silver lining, something good that came out of something bad. Does Carl have the opposite? What would be the opposite of a silver lining? Like when something goes good, he can always find the bad thing.
A rusty, lining. Yeah, he can always
find a rusty lining.
It pisses me off when he goes, oh, as soon as I have to think about something, I'm no longer on holiday. It's so stupid.
Yeah, even, you know, it was like they're in some tropical place. I forget where they are. It was the Caribbean?
In the Canary Islands. Spanish sort of.
But what is it, like day four or something before they go down to the beach?
Yeah.
And it's only his girlfriend says, like, come on, let's go for a walk on the beach. Like, what were you doing before? Why do you go that far and just stay in the room? I don't understand.
Well, that the holiday, the great present for his 30th birthday that his girlfriend Suzanne got him, he said he was reading that book about just things that happened. And he talks about the Thames freezing over and they used to have markets. And Ricky says, was that old Mad Liar Charlie? It actually happened. They were called frost fairs.
Where they would have a market on the ice.
It would freeze solid. Yeah. In the period of, this is from the Wikipedia about frost fairs, the period from the mid-14th century to the 19th century in Europe is called the Little Ice Age because of the severity of the climate, especially the winters. In England, when the ice was thick enough and lasted long enough, Londoners would take to the river for travel, trade, and entertainment, the latter eventually taking the form of public festivals and fairs.
I did know that there was quite a scene on the frozen ice of the Niagara for a while. So the Niagara, underneath Niagara Falls, it would freeze and everyone would go out on it. And so much so that there's someone set up a stall out there where you could buy drinks and stuff like that.
It was a scene. Like it was
There was a place to be. But
the hot new club is Niagara Falls.
It broke up once with everyone on it.
Yeah, of course.
Have you heard this story?
No.
It was a tragic story.
How many
deaths?
Some
people, I believe maybe one or two.
Oh, okay.
But most people made it off except these two people, but they were just floating down river.
Jesus.
On an ice pontoon, and they tried to, like, they would go under bridges and they would, like, because everyone could see them, obviously, so they were getting prepared, so they'd throw ropes down to them and stuff, but they just couldn't get them.
Holy crap.
How scary would that be? Not the way you want to go.
I'm going to cancel my plans to go to the frozen fair. Carl and Suzanne went out for a walk. Oh, so then Carl starts talking about what ruined his holiday. And Carl and Suzanne, they went out for a walk, as you said. They finally got out to the beach and there was, first Carl saw this.
So I'm walking along and everything's good and, you know, there's a woman feeding fish bread, which I thought that's different.
So he's painting the picture for us and then the worm turned.
Fella comes walking towards me.
Oi, oi.
He's only got no pants on.
Oh.
So I said, Suzanne, what's going on?
Where have you taken me?
Is this the I'm so bad with remembering things we've already talked about. Is this the first time he's talked about his issues with nudism? It's not, is it? Does it ring any bells for you?
I think it rings a bell that he's talked about nudism before.
Doesn't get it, yeah.
Doesn't get it. he does it. What does he say? Why don't I? There's no benefits you can't get that you'd get wearing pants.
Well, this is what he says.
I thought, but he's carrying a big bag, yeah, right? I've got a pair of shorts on, and I'm not looking at him thinking, I bet he's really comfy. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't going, I can't wait to get home and get my shorts off. They're really annoying me, these.
This is the old man who's walking with a big rucksack, shoes on, and a pipe.
It does seem to be an old man kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Just shameless.
Hmm.
Yeah. Do you see yourself going that way?
I don't at this stage. But it's hard to predict, is
it? Sarah Peaches, I'm going for a walk.
I don't see, as he says, I don't see the comfort. You know, we wear clothing, you know, I guess modesty is a part of it, but it's protection. It's so when I sit down, my bare ass isn't on the hot tin seat.
So that is when Carl says that seeing this guy immediately took him out of holiday mode, because when he's on holiday, he doesn't think anything.
Very
His
zen.
His mind is empty. Yeah. It's very zen. Because I think, like, often holidays are to go and learn something, to go and experience a place you haven't been before and learn something new.
Yeah, I'm horrible at actually relaxing.
Yeah.
We'll walk like 20 kilometers a day.
Yeah.
You know, around the city. And I'm always, it's a problem actually. I should talk to Carl because like I'm always anxious that I'm missing something or I'm not going to make the most of it. Or if it's good weather, I'm like, we got to make the most of it. Get out in the blue skies.
Yeah.
Experience the city.
You've got a holiday chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
About really maximizing the time that you're there.
I can't relate to like, I'll also like a lot of the time I'll need to be surfing or snowboarding or, and I will do that to the point where I can't walk. Like it'll be like 6 hours a day.
Yeah. And then the trope of I need a holiday from my holiday.
Yeah. I mean, it's great fun, like but that. I just need an activity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. When I was 22 and I went backpacking with a friend around Europe, we were doing the, hey, we just want to go there and feel like we live there, which meant stay in a hostel and get drunk every day.
Yeah, because that's what all the locals
do. All the locals do. And there was no sort of pressure to go and see things and do things. And I do think back on that and I go like, it's probably a missed opportunity. Like I went to Munich. I was there for a whole week. I was sober for about 20 minutes of it. I didn't see any. And I walked to and from the beer tents every day. And on the way home, I'm like, wow, this looks like a pretty cool, like interesting city. Did no research before I got there. Didn't see anything other than the inside of beer halls and beer tents.
Yeah, well, you know. I did catch a few trains through Munich and judging by some of the people I was with, that does seem like that might have been the local experience. There were a lot of rowdy football guys on the train and I was very surprised that they weren't asked to stop drinking.
On the train!
God.
Couldn't get away with that here. We're in a drinking on the train nanny state.
Oh, really? lots of people still do it.
Really? I guess I don't really take the train very much here.
Yeah, I've had some experiences.
Okay.
Maybe it's just a train line. Maybe it's the train lines out near my house.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to adjust. Can you hear me okay? Is it my headphones or the mic?
This headphone jack is ridiculous. Sorry about that. More great producing from Steve when he stops Carl and says, hey, let's wait until after the song to hear what nudism is all about. That's when Carl, in break three, Carl gives his assessment of the old man. Just the, you know, not looking at him thinking he's so much more comfortable than I am. In break four is when we get to Carl's game pitches. But first, there's been an error.
What happened there with all that rubbish pressing the wrong thing going out on that?
Don't want to go, I've sorted it now. Doesn't matter.
Right. You've come back. You're not focused, Carl. That's what concerns me. Your mind's on other things.
I'm all right now, though. You're ready to go. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a real thing, coming back from the break.
Well, later on, Ricky gets legitimately angry. I'm not sure if it's in this one or a few minutes later, where it's like he's kind of joking, but also kind of not.
Well, there seem to be proper technical issues, but separate to that, I think once you've taken a break, you do come back to a radio show and go like, how do I, hang on, what? It does take a little while to ramp back up.
Because Steve blames Carl and says, I think he says, you know, are we going to need someone else in here to push buttons? Because you obviously can't do both.
Mm. Which we give credit to Steve deservedly for some great producing, but he is also the person who brings up that it's probably, he floats the idea that Carl should either stop contributing to the show or in this instance, stop pressing the buttons. So, you know, good and bad.
And then Ricky, what does he say? He says that the desk's old. They need a new desk.
Yeah.
They don't have enough CDs.
Yeah.
What is it? Something about he's going to go steal CDs from Capitol or
Capitol Library, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've got a better library. All just completely, like, nowadays you just type it into a search engine, like the library, which is all digital. So if it's not in there, it doesn't exist in the system.
It's funny, isn't it? That's when he's talking about going to find different CDs. So someone had to go down the line.
Yeah.
And what, are they playing them out from a CD player?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, didn't you know? That only just dropped
Well,
no,
I knew that they were bringing CDs in, but I guess I'd never thought about what the actual process was. I thought they were like loading them, you know, copying a digital file into the system. But is there like a 10-stack CD player where they're loading things up and go track six?
It's just two. If it's anything like when I was doing community radio, it was just two. And you have the next one ready, and then like while the one that's playing is playing, you get the next one ready and queue it up.
See, that's when that's, I guess, being a disc jockey, a DJ, where you actually have to physically do something. When we were listening back to that guy in the 70s, what was his name?
Blackman.
But he would be doing,
Tony Blackburn.
He would have all these little sound effect carts. You'd put a cart in, get it ready, load to play, all those little IDs. And then you'd have, I guess, records, would you? Like ready, taking records off and on. Like you're physically doing something. Whereas these days, it is kind of like, what are we getting paid for? like you know, the job is like a tenth of what it used to be.
Yeah, it used to require so much more multitasking. And I would struggle because you can hear how much I struggle doing this, even just trying to press buttons to play grabs while also thinking and looking at where we're up to in the show. To do it while also like playing grabs and all the comedy bits. Have you seen Private Parts, the Howard Stern movie?
No.
About his career? Like there's a point where he has a literal like snare drum and cymbals to like...
And is he playing it?
Yeah, and he's doing it. And it's just, there's so much plate spinning. So we're not disc jockeys anymore. We're digital jockeys.
But you know, like all the, it's kind of similar to how you watch a movie now and there's so much CG that it's like, just nothing means anything anymore. It's similar. Like if you were listening to the radio in the 70s and you heard that guy, you'd be like, this is incredible. Because I guess you'd have some type of understanding that he's in there like an octopus, just like,
yeah,
hitting all these buttons. But now you're kind of like, you could hear anything on the radio and it wouldn't be impressive. Because you're like, I guess they pre-recorded that and a sound engineer has put it all together.
Like when you watch the old movie, The Thing, you know that all those effects are practical.
Yeah.
Whereas if you watch the reboot from 2000 or like the sequel-y thing from 2011, you're like, this is all, I'm just watching a cartoon basically.
It's so sad. I love movies, but I hate seeing the behind the scenes where it's just two characters, maybe not even two characters, because one of them will be in a bodysuit with like dots all over them, just in front of a green screen. It's just like, not for me.
Shame.
Kids these days.
Kids these days. I tell you what, get off my lawn while you're at it. What do you make of Carl's idea, his opinion, for the best way to come up with ideas?
So the best way of coming up with ideas is sort of...
thinking.
Sort of nicking a TV show name and then twisting it a bit.
Yeah.
So...
Or just rip off Simon Mayo's idea completely.
That's good advice for anyone out there.
I didn't know.
Well, firstly, he comes in loaded, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So that's what I love. And, you know, last week I made the accusation that they didn't really appreciate or didn't register how much Carl brings. And I think that's correct because this week he supplies almost everything. He comes in with a bag of ideas and they do... Well, it's just his ideas.
He comes in with a bag of names.
No, but I think they know... You know, I think he would have said... I'm going to pitch some ideas. Like they've given him a slot in the show to do this. Are they anticipating him to be bad ideas? Yeah, that's where the humor's going to come. But like he's doing a lot of heavy lifting, and I like the autonomy that he seems to have now. They give him a bit of free rein. But as for the technique, I think it's a good technique.
Have you ever done it?
No, I haven't done it. We'll look through, like, what are the TV ratings? What are the big movies at the moment? What are the big... I'll look at the charts of the movies. I'll look at the charts of, like, the music. I'll look at the TV ratings to see, like, what's a talking point, maybe. But I probably wouldn't exactly just go, oh, we're just going to change the show name.
Mm. Like, there's the show Would I Lie to You? Very popular in the UK. And that tonight, it actually, the Australian version is debuting tonight.
Are you going to do something on it?
And you could just do, like, am I lying? Question mark. The radio game.
You could
That's
do...
That's totally original.
How about Would I Pie to You? Where you have something to do with different pies and you have to guess the flavour.
Would I Fry to You? You have a selection of chips and they have to work out which is fried and which is oven baked.
Or you could have a deep fryer. Mm. And test, like, kind of like, will it fry?
Will a mobile phone, will it fry? On line one, Zach, do you think it will fry?
Oh, yeah, I reckon it will, Dave.
All right, let's find out. Oh.
We kind of used to do...
I wouldn't be surprised if I heard something like
that. What you could do also, if you don't want to do that seriously, just dummy it up like that. As like, Would I Lie to You is tonight. The station has asked us to do a Would I Lie to You related segment. This is what we've come up with. here's a few that we tested in the office this afternoon.
That's, I can see you holding the headphone jack. Is it really, you can't hear anything?
Yeah, I'm hearing like every third word.
Oh, that's very annoying.
Hang on.
Let's take a quick break and try to troubleshoot this and come right back. And we're back.
Speaking, I actually have a story that ties some of these threads together. So speaking of frying things in the studio, getting segments from TV names and also having tech problems that you have to call tech support for. We used to do a segment called Toastman Zach, which was a reference to Postman Pat, which was where I had a toaster and I would try to toast different things. It was mainly based on, because you know how it's got a great song, Postman Pat?
Yeah.
Postman Pat and Black Market Cat. We came up with a jingle that was about Toastman Zach. Toasting something pleasing later in the evening. Something like that. Anyway. And apparently, toasters work on a certain amperage or wattage that is not conducive with a studio. And so I blew up the studio. Yeah. And not only that, but like, because the desk, I don't know if you're an electrician, you probably know this, can't run a toaster. And so the studio is insulated to be separate from like the general grid, so that if the city loses power, the studio should stay on air. You should be able to broadcast through anything, unless the disturbance comes from inside the studio. So like I really, really stuffed it up. Like the guy was quite angry.
Wow. So a toaster is a radio studio's kryptonite.
Yeah, that's right. And they said, here's the interesting thing. They said you could have plugged the toaster into the wall of the studio, but I plugged it into the PowerPoint that was on the desk, and that was the issue.
And then, so did the show just go off air for that whole night? Did you have to, or did you just so change just
goes,
studios?
It just goes, all the lights go out, everything goes out. Like, and I remember hearing, it was Jack, your producer, he was producing us at the time, and I could just hear his side of the conversation. And he goes, he's calling a tech, it's like midnight, and I can just hear Jack go, we plugged a toaster in. Long pause. A toaster. No, a toaster into the desk. Like the guy was obviously going, what?
Rubbing what his eyes. Do? He had been asleep three seconds
the
before.
The way that I was treated as if I was like the stupidest person in the world for not knowing the difference between, I'm like, I'm not employed to be an electrician. I don't know these things. I see a PowerPoint and I see the connector. I would think that you could plug anything into there.
Well, it's a power plug. It's where you plug in to get power. And we used to work for the same company. We do a lot of training, a lot of like codes training.
Has anything come up about a toaster?
Never.
If so, that's because of me.
Never once in studio like etiquette and about all the stuff about, hey, leave it as you found it and make sure it's clean. Nothing about plugging toasters into the outlets. I wonder what else would blow it up. Would a microwave do the same thing?
I reckon a hairdryer. You know those things that need a short burst of that was the impression I got, that they need like a short burst of intense power. Those aren't good.
Okay. Well, I've learned something today. So then Carl's ideas, strike it, Ricky, big mother, the rice is right, 15 Taiwan, big mother. If your mum's heavy, you win a CD. It's that simple. I wish they'd played that. Then more great producing from Steve. He says, we'll hear the really good idea, because Carl says, I've got one really good idea that we'll actually do. Steve says, we'll hear it after the song. So then, 17 minutes into Series 2, Episode 8, Marketing Your Diaries, Carl first mentions the name of his legendary game.
Right, this one. Remember Blockbusters?
Uh-huh.
Right, this one. This one is good, and we'll do this one. Rockbusters.
There it is. Rockbusters is born.
Momentous moment, whereas like this segment kind of already exists, but it now has a name.
Yeah, that's it's and it's still not even the final version.
Right.
They don't get to that till next week.
What's it referencing? Mockbusters? Is that what he said?
Blockbusters.
Blockbusters, sorry.
Yeah, a TV game show with the same mechanic. But actually, yeah, was it revolving? Can someone, Briggsy, or there was another guy who offered to be our UK correspondent, thank you to you both, Blockbusters, did they do cryptic clues about TV shows, movies, historical figures and events, whereas this one is just about artists?
Yeah, well, originally it was what song am I thinking?
Mm.
So it's pretty broad. I doubt it's a reference, you know, I doubt the show's similar, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it's only similar in the sense that they're both games.
Yeah. And he's stolen the name. So then they go to, they play, they ask people to call. I do love that Steve is, of course, the one who spoils things by trying to clarify the details, which annoys Carl. Because, like, I just want to play. Even though previous attempts to play this game have been a complete debacle, he's still annoyed at Steve for stopping the momentum to just like work out, like, hang on, how is this actually going to work?
Mm.
Yeah.
It seems to be repeating every week to Steve's frustration. It doesn't seem like a few weeks ago he said, should we sort this out off air? That hasn't happened now. It's been 3 weeks.
No.
Like, say, you know, there's a lot of talk about Ricky being a child, but maybe off air Carl's a bit of a child as well. It's hard to wrangle both of them.
Well, he comes in hot with like, I've come up with this idea, but then when it's prodded by someone who didn't come up with the idea, he feels like he's doing all the work, but then it's found out that it's sort of on shaky ground. The foundations aren't quite set. He gets annoyed. And I relate to that feeling when you get excited about an idea. And
don't question me.
Then someone points out the flaw and you go,
I just want to be excited about it. Just let me be excited.
Yeah. So then they go into the ads, but the ads don't work. And that's when there's that long silence. And Carl says they're going to have to get a tech in. And Ricky gets really mad and says, well, let's just not play the ads. Simple. It reminded me of a real life radio fault that happened here in Australia. Have you heard this before? It's from a radio station in Melbourne. I'll play a clip from you. This for you. This is on YouTube, so I feel like it's okay to play. It's publicly available. So something similar to what happened with Ricky, Steve and Carl happened at a very big radio station in Melbourne. Here we go.
It's a cast of 4,000.
Oh, hang on.
Chris Brown's best hit yet. Brand new, it's called Don't Wake Me Up. We're going to play it 10 minutes from now. That's if the computer doesn't freeze, which it has done now. Okay. So this is where nothing happens and everything is completely frozen. And I look up and I wait patiently for people to come running, hopefully through the office with something for me to press, something for me to do. because everything in the studio has frozen right this instant.
Doesn't just happen at XFM.
No, I do remember that now.
Yeah, and you know where it's going next. The solution that they come up with. Don't say it if you do.
Yeah, I do remember now.
Okay, so on the XFM show, they just go into another song. So whereas this radio station, I'm going to cut ahead a little bit. It goes for about 3 minutes, the whole thing. And the DJ, Michael, is just sort of spinning the wheels, doing a good job, just staying on air and not freaking out too much.
Well, the problem we've already mentioned earlier about like how you used to have all the CD players, the cart players and stuff like that, and now it's just one computer. So the issue is if the computer goes down, that's everything. All you have is the microphone.
Yeah.
So you can't play something off a different player. There's only one player.
Yeah. There is. I don't think there... I actually haven't looked, but... There used to be much more emphasis on the backup CD player, that if the system goes down, there's a CD loader, just hit play. But in this instance, that's not even working. The backup CD player isn't working. So then another announcer runs in with a solution.
It's a cast of 4,000. What are we going to do? Tim, any ideas what we're going to do?
I've got an idea, everybody. Okay, relax.
Tim's got an idea. Going to relax, just going to kick back, going to... What are you going to do?
No, I've got my iPod here.
Please don't tell me you're going to play a song off your iPod into the microphone.
Mate, we're Melbourne's number one hit music station. I thought we could play B.O.B.
Okay, let's do it. Sound quality spectacular. 101.9 The Fox in FM stereo. This is B.O.B. and so good.
I mean, that is thinking on your feet.
Yeah, that's Tim Lee, one of the... I used to listen to Tim Lee tapes to get fired up.
That's cool.
Because I loved, when I was really into like announcing, he was like the king.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably one of the best announcers.
And he's still there. And he's one of the nicest dudes in the world.
Also, I loved his attitude. I'm sure he probably doesn't stand by this anymore, but he was also quite famous for live tweeting an exit interview. Do you remember this?
No.
Yeah, he had like an exit interview and he live tweeted.
Wow. That's potentially bridge burning behavior.
I think so. But like, I loved the I loved the attitude.
Yeah. So that was how they chose to handle that. Just the image of holding a phone up to a microphone on a major metro radio station and just playing a song that way is just genius. But this was back. So this is from like 2011, I think. So that's back when it was still a software called Maestro, which you had way less safeguards. What everyone uses now is called Zeta, which if the desk fails in Zeta, it will default back to the server room and it will just play. Like it just moves forward. It's far more like idiot proof now than it was.
Yeah, and that concludes playout system chat.
Yeah, chat.
Zeta, we're using Next Gen, which is the previous generation of Zeta.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever use Next Gen?
No, that's the one I never used, but I thought everyone had made the switch.
No, it's coming.
Okay.
We're going to go there soon.
Next Gen. Next Gen from the year 2008.
But see, even now, Zeta is like, it is, you can just drag and drop files into the system now. Like, there's not even, like, there used to be, like, even after the CDs, you're playing them off CDs. The way of getting, even when it was digitized, the way of getting files in was laborsome.
It was still like a digital version of the physical thing. It was like cart 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And the way you would make things like, I can't even remember how you would automate a shift. I don't think you could, but now we just do this thing called voice tracking.
But like getting sound effects into the system to play.
Yeah.
You'd have to have all your sound effects ready at the start. It would be like a 15-minute process of loading them all in, naming them.
Yeah.
Now Zeta is just you drag them onto a button bar and they're ready in like 10 seconds.
Yeah. And switch to 2022. I've literally just got a little controller in front of me. I can do whatever I want. Future's amazing. Moving on to... Oh, one final thing. One of the comments below the YouTube video of that era. Should have kept card machines and CD players in service around the world in this industry. Why fix what wasn't broken? Thanks, man. He's got the solution right there. So, break 8. They get to Rockbusters. Finally. Zach, this is the first time you've heard it. What did you make of it?
Well, it's pretty similar, wasn't it? Isn't it pretty much the same segment?
Yeah, but they were doing the the artist this time. Last time it was a little song, yeah. The story about the song.
I preferred the story about the song because the artist is kind of like, there's not, well, to give Carl credit, there's not as much of a story around it. You know how he liked to paint a little picture to his own kind of demise. But now we're experiencing the total opposite. And I'm like, oh, maybe we could go somewhere in the middle.
Ooh. Well, I wouldn't hold my breath.
Oh, does it stay with artists?
It stays with artists. And his way of coming up with the clues becomes the comedy.
Okay.
Because these ones are good. They don't stay good.
Okay.
He really starts to take some leaps in how you would get to why the clue means the artist that he's thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah, accents come into it and everything. It's great. Break 9. So they come out of feeder, come back around again. And Steve floats the idea that someone else should press the buttons because Carla can't speak and press the buttons at the same time. Break 10. Another great segment is born, educating Ricky. What did you make of this story?
So I just got out of the car to look at a bright light. And I got back in the car and I grew a beard. And she said, never mind your beard. Where have you been for 3 days?
Just excellent delivery.
Yeah, educating Ricky is a great segment. I love it. And I also love how, like, just he's had this before, how attached he gets to arbitrary factors. So, like, he gets genuinely angry because he suggests 3 stories he wants to talk that you get to pick from. They talk about one, and then Ricky goes, okay, now let's talk about the other one. And he goes, no, I didn't want to do this. You got one. What's the difference?
Yeah. Do you think he really believes that story?
Yeah. Because he says that last punchline, like, here we go. Their heads are going to be blown here.
Carl's a mystery.
Well, where he has kind of a misaligned authority, doesn't he? Like, why does he believe certain things but not other things? So if it's in these books that he's been reading of, like, tales of the of the universe or whatever, it's a fact. But if Ricky and Steve tell him any different, it's not a fact. I don't get why he believes one and not the other.
He says another time that it's like, he likes things that are just, that are a bit weird. If they're a bit weird, they're interesting to him.
So is it a want to believe? I want to believe about aliens, so I'm going to be more inclined to believe that they exist than not exist. Because, you know, Ricky and Steve go through and they go, well, he's lying.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
But it doesn't occur to him, which is amazing. His justification for things like Bible stories is, well, it's in book form.
Well, that might be it. That's what I was wondering. If it's like, if it's gone through the process of getting printed, it's been through the filters.
It gives it some sort of authority. Okay, so then they go straight into the story about hanging bacon. There's not, like, with these things, with these segments, I don't feel like there's that much to say about them when Carl tells the stories, because they're just, anytime it feels like the show, when the show ventures into more traditional radio fair, it's like, okay, yeah, he's telling the stories.
Well, I've heard this type of thing on international radio. It's not a thing that happens in Australia as much, but I have seen, I think both in the UK and New Zealand, they will kind of mention 5 different topics and say, like, oh, the audience gets to pick what we talk about. And actually, Christian O'Connell does a similar thing, which I think might be a bit more popular in the UK, but I've noticed in Australia he's doing this as well, which is, like, he'll have 5 topics that are just, we're going to talk throughout the morning. So you can call at any time on these 5 topics, whereas we traditionally will do, like, a 15-minute section on one topic, and then, so we're taking calls for 15 minutes, then the next 15 minutes will be about another topic. And so this is an unheard of, you know, the idea that is like, pick from this list.
Mm.
Have you heard that before?
Only for a while on The Breakfast Show on a Friday, we used to do all the ideas that were left over. So someone would here's some ideas that didn't make the show this week. So I'll pitch you 3 of them in a 1-sentence pitch, and you call up and say which one you want to hear more about.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Having 5 things to throw out there, it's now made me wonder, could you just go, hey, give us a call. What do you want me to talk about? What's interesting to you?
choose your own adventure.
Yeah, it's a choose your own adventure. But so part of the Educating Ricky is the iconic story of the hairy Chinese kid who becomes a constant reference point alongside the big-headed lads and Auntie Nora, who we also hear about in this episode. There's just so much going on.
But this story, some of these stories he doesn't have a personal connection with. Actually, I think barely any of them, the ones out of the ones he listed. Like, he's just read about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just read them on a news website somewhere, on Ananova. So I did a little bit of research into the hairy Chinese kid and found what I think is an update from 2013. Because as Carl said, there was nothing wrong with him. He just had a little bit of, what was it? Something in a boil. And so he should have, in theory, grown up happy and healthy. So here is a story from 2013. Inspiring story of the man mocked as the hairy child who is now happily married with a baby despite his rare condition. Chen Qian suffers a rare condition and was born covered in thick, dark hair. He was labeled a freak by locals in his small Chinese village, but now 29, he is a successful businessman and has just had a daughter with his pretty wife. So there's him now, obviously visual medium. Doesn't translate, but this looks like he's, I don't know, something's going on there. But that's what he looked like as a kid. In 1996. So the timeline works out.
Yeah, that? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a sad story, actually.
Yeah.
About a kid who was mocked
around
the world.
Yeah.
For the way he looked.
Happy ending, though?
Yeah, he's married, successful has business a, has person.
Has a child with his pretty wife.
Got a pretty wife.
I took the moment to just... She's pretty as well. It's weird. So born in 1984, rose to media attention due to his bushy eyebrows and dark facial hair that covered his tiny face. He was treated as a freak thanks to his condition, which is believed to have been caused by a hormonal imbalance. But as he grew, he gradually won the community over with his positive attitude and hard work ethic.
See, Carl seems to be on the side of, like, leave him alone.
Yeah.
But also, he's the one bringing it up.
He's it's fascinated. Like
you could just say nothing.
He's fascinated. He's fascinated. There, a segment comes and goes in this show called Cheeky Freak of the Week.
Right.
And it is Carl bringing a story of someone who has a physical difference that he finds fascinating. And you can probably...
This is like going back to, like... Traveling freak shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've watched all of Idiot Abroad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does he do in that?
Well, they sort of go into that. He goes and sees the conjoined twins.
Yeah.
And he just sees what, you know, and it's sort of, again, love Idiot Abroad because it brings everything full circle. But anyway, so that's still to come. In break two, 12, Carl solicits for songs with stories and they go into Stevie Wonder's songs. Then afterwards, they realise they didn't play the full version.
But see, here's an example. He is just taking control of the show.
Yeah.
He just says, hey, it's a new segment. Songs with stories in them. Or what does he say? That song.
That song's got a good story.
A catchy title. But the guys... See, I think Stephen... It's totally changed, right? A year ago, you know, in the first season... It was Ricky and Steve driving it and Carl making comments. This episode is almost the complete opposite. Carl's almost doing the announcing as well. So it's like he's driving the whole thing and then Ricky and Steve just make comments about what's going on. They're quite happy for him to launch into this segment, into this new feature. And it's kind of like his show now.
I'm looking through the notes. There's not a single Ricky or Steve moment where they go, here's something I want to say. Here's my story of the week or my idea. It's a complete Carl episode. But that's the show at its best. When Carl is saying something and Ricky and Steve are reacting to it, don't you think?
Yeah. I prefer it more about his personal life than just him finding stories on
Definitely.
The internet.
There's more to say.
Yeah, because he doesn't kind of have any stakes in any of his stories. Just a bit of an opinion.
Yeah.
But... It's, you know, I did feel in this, I was excited when he came with his bag of tricks.
Mm.
And I was like, he's back, baby. We're back to the good stuff.
So they didn't play the full version of the song. They're going to do that next week. And then they start talking about Carl visiting his dad in hospital and his opinion on how you should treat people at the end of their life. So referencing the blue-handed woman who was next to her dad, his dad.
Mm.
What do you think? There's some merit to it.
Like, what, the story or the idea of...
Just like...
End-of-life treatment.
Yeah. What he's basically pitching for is palliative care.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think maybe they didn't back then.
No, that, I kind of think they did. He's ill-informed about the actual details of that woman's situation.
Yes, yes, I think that's correct. Because I'm like, I think they would do that, man. Yeah. I think they would let her go home.
If you want to be comfortable at home and die with dignity and surrounded by friends, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and he kind of uses it to bring up a story about flatulence.
Yes. Which the is, iconic moment. Yes, sorry.
Just like,
I'm so excited.
He kind of tiptoes around this very sensitive story, and then it ends up just being a fart story.
Here we go. Auntie Nora makes her first appearance on the Ricky Gervais show.
Hello, how are you doing? And that, she's all right. Bit worried though. My mum said, "Why? What's up?" Should have been breaking wind. So she goes, "Well, you know." She says, "No, but this one is going on and on and on." And she was like, she was like, what do you say? What's like passing wind, farting for 5 minutes? one thing. Not like, you know, trumping and then nothing.
Yeah.
Continuous.
Continuous drone of a fart.
Well, it can't be true, right? What do you think?
Apparently.
I was just trying to think through the practicality of it. It's either you've got some type of circular breathing going on. Where you can simultaneously take in air and release air from the other side of your body, or it's a slow leak. Those are the only two possible outcomes I can think of.
I think of it like an inflatable mattress that just has a little pinprick in it. It's just a steady, slow leaking of air.
Yeah, I guess if you had pretty poor control over that muscle, I guess that's possible. I guess it's possible to be just to be like not able to stop.
But if you're also, as Carl points out, loaded on various kinds of drugs and that's just how it manifests, I can definitely sing. It's definitely not 5 minutes of... It's just a gentle... for 5 minutes. Who would you call if you were if you were 2.5 minutes into a 5 minute fart?
It'd be a very uncomfortable conversation.
Hey, it's going to sound a bit weird. What are you doing right now? Can you talk? Yeah. Look, I've been farting and I've timed it. As soon as it started, I hit go on a stopwatch.
Well, at what point do you look at the clock?
Minutes in.
What point do you look at the clock?
Yeah.
And go, okay, well, I need to start recording.
Exactly. Because it's not, she didn't start timing it as soon as it happened. So there would have been some guesstimation of like...
45 seconds. Well, I reckon you'd start to get worried. At about 10 seconds, you're thinking, okay, this is strange. Right, and then 20 seconds, it's like, should I do something about this?
Yeah.
By 30, you've got the watch out.
30 seconds, you're going, okay, there's something's going on. And you're glancing at the clock. Yeah. I think by 45 seconds, you're like, all right, I'm timing it.
And then what point do you go, well, I'm just going to go about my day. And just accept it.
At 1 minute, you're going, okay, if this is still going at 2 minutes, I'm calling someone.
Yeah.
At a minute 30, you're thinking about who you're going to call. And then at 2 minutes, you walking for the phone, thinking that maybe if you walk to the phone, it will stop it. And at 2.5 minutes, you're going, I don't want to call an ambulance because that's embarrassing. Well, I'm going to call a family member.
Well, see, here's the interesting thing. I would rather call a medical professional because it's kind of, you know, they have an oath, don't they? They deal with these types of things. Whereas like a family member, don't let any social member in on this quite yet.
Yeah.
Figure out if it's a real issue.
Yeah. And also weigh up the, you know, is it a family member or a friend who will now bring it up for the rest of your life?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Christmas dinners.
And is this,
at your wedding,
does this
at
become
your funeral?
Does this become an ongoing problem?
No, it just becomes a, like Hairy Chinese Kid and the Big Headed Lads. It's a constant reference. It's a constant, well, whenever he brings up his Auntie Nora, oh, the one who farted for 5 minutes. I'm just, just stand by. I'm going to Google, can you fart for 5 minutes straight?
I think you can, and I think the slow leak theory is probably the leading one.
Of, no, I don't think I'm going to get to the bottom of this just while we're recording. But yeah, so 2.5 minutes, that's when you call someone. And the Pilkington solution is I'll send Carl's dad over.
To do what?
I don't know. What's that? I'll send him over with a cork.
Plug up the leak.
It'll be fine. So yes, the debut of Auntie Nora on the XFM Ricky Gervais Show. Series 2, episode 8 is where it happened. So then in break 15, they wrap things up and Carl got a call from a medical student saying that drugs do give you wind, particularly morphine, apparently. And that's the end of the show. Favourite bit?
The gusto that Carl comes in with, just saying, I've got all these ideas. Probably the concept around puns on TV shows kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He's like, just get a TV show and put a twist on it.
Mm-hmm. So your favorite bit is Carl's attitude this week, really?
Yeah. Don't you think he comes back with a lot of energy?
And ready. He's got some, he's thought about the show. Only one who has.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He must have spent the last 2 weeks excited to get back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's quite sweet when you think about it. Next week, my favorite bit is just the delivery of, where have you been for 3 days? The story of the abduction.
He's only got a beard.
Yeah. Next week, series 2, episode 9, we get a hilarious story of Ricky and Carl encountering a cheeky chap in the street. It's a great story. Great story from something that Ricky and Carl encountered while out socializing together. Question for you, Zach. If you were being pursued by the government and had to sneak from London to Edinburgh in the body of an animal, but the government are on the lookout for all animals. They're looking in the skies for birds and stuff like that. What animal would you choose?
In the body, like a dead animal?
No. As in, like, you could take over the consciousness of an animal.
Okay.
To escape the government and get to Edinburgh.
Okay, so I've got to cover a lot of land. I would go dog.
Dog, but, you know, a dog can be stopped.
What? Of course it can be stopped.
The government are looking. They're looking for animals as well as people.
Okay, I feel like that I'm getting pushed to say some type of insect, but an insect couldn't cover that distance.
Or could it? We'll hear Carl's answer next week and his rationale, which is genius. And finally, next week, Rockbusters takes its final form. So,
I've got it.
Yeah?
An insect on a train. That's what I'd do.
Let's see how close that gets next week on the show. Rockbusters, it finally takes its final form. So I'm going to give you the clues for next week and see how you go.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll know, or at least have heard of, most of these bands. So, Zach, which band are these? I'll take that book to the toilet with me. L-R are the initials. I'll take that toilet to the... take that book to the toilet with me.
Well, LR makes me think Lionel Richie. Dancing on the Roof or something?
No, it's artist. We're looking for artists here.
Hang on. And the clue is a reference to the person.
Yeah, it's a cryptic clue, he calls it. And LR, the initials.
I have no idea.
Okay. Blow the candles out before you eat the cake. FL.
Blow the candles out. Is it a band name or an...
Band name.
Okay.
F-L.
No idea.
How can I wash up in something shaped like that? N-S. You've definitely heard of this band.
N-S.
Yes. How can I wash up in something shaped like that? N-S.
I don't know, man. These are painful. This is like, I feel like I'm being interrogated.
You've definitely heard of this.
You know how quickly we fall into the dynamic. You're getting frustrated now, like Carl does. It's like, listen. No,
it's a boy band. NS.
Oh my goodness, it's not NSYNC, is it?
NSYNC. How can I wash up in something like that? NS. sink. It's an N-shaped sink.
Oh my goodness. That's a stretch.
We'll get to the other ones next week. Contact us, carlypilkboyspod@gmail.com. Get a support the show on Patreon. Thank you to everyone who is. Patreon.com/carlypilkboys. Our Instagram, carly.pilkboys.
Should we mention also, Dave's working on something for the Patreon that's going to be worth it just to sign up without the podcast?
I think so. I hope so. If you're on our Instagram, you would have seen what I'm working on, carly.pilkboys. And the link to our merch is in our bio of our Instagram. Zach Mander on Instagram and TikTok. And I'm David Ferrier Cartoons. See you next week.
Bye.
Shambles today, this. Yes.